Now to unionizing in healthcare. Shout out to Linda in Appleton for suggesting this conversation during our recent Color Only Hour. Wisconsin's Attorney General issued an 11-page opinion earlier this month giving clarity on bargaining rights for UW health nurses. The upshot is the hospital system can recognize employee unions under Wisconsin law and bargain with them. Now, in the Twin Ports, nurses held an informational picket yesterday as contracts for thousands of RNs at Essentia Health and St. Luke's expire at the end of the month. Join in 800-642-1234. Chris Rubish is first vice president of the Minnesota Nurses Association, a registered nurse for Essentia in Duluth. Their union contract also covers some nurses at St. Mary's Hospital in Superior. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so can you give us a little sense of the informational picket? What was that like yesterday? What occurred?
Sure. So we had thousands of nurses joining us on the streets in front of our employers, Essentia, Twin Ports, and St. Luke's Hospitals. As you mentioned, nurses at my bargaining unit, Essentia Twin Ports, come from both sides of the bridge, so both Superior and Duluth. And, you know, we were bringing our message to the public about our concerns for staffing and providing safe healthcare to our patients in the hospital.
Contracts expire next week, and correct me here, but this is for about 2,500 nurses for hospitals operated by St. Luke's and Essentia Health. What are you seeking in the new contract?
Sure. So really what we're seeing is a need to keep nurses at the bedside. We need nurses now more than ever. And so we're looking for contract provisions that would recruit and retain nurses and address our concerns around staffing of our units.
What can you say about ongoing negotiations? How is it going?
You know, it's been a difficult process so far. We've been negotiating since mid-April, and, you know, we just have not yet had the type of difficult but necessary conversations, especially around staffing, that we're really hoping to with management. And that's ultimately why we were picketing yesterday. We were hoping that our public action and that public pressure would bring management, to the table to discuss those difficult issues with us.
What is it like to negotiate with hospital leaders in these pandemic times?
Yeah, you know, we always come to the table ready to have those difficult conversations. The pandemic has certainly shone a brighter light on issues like staffing. But I think it's really important to point out that those concerns that we have were not created by this pandemic. They've been, something we've been experiencing for decades. And this has certainly put additional strain on our healthcare systems. But nurses have been feeling these struggles of needing to keep and retain nurses in tough conditions for a long, long time, longer than I've even been a nurse.
But the tensions around the pandemic, they're there. I mean, do you think it's harder to win some concessions because the hospital leaders can say, look, we're in a pandemic, we're in an emergency? How much has that been a legitimate reason?
You know, it's been something we've been hearing. I think I would have a deeper conversation and maybe push back a little bit on saying that's the sole deeper reason. We have seen, especially for my healthcare system and others in Minnesota, that profits have been going up. CEO compensation has been going up. So I think there's a broader conversation to have, and it's a little too easy for management to point to the pandemic and say, see, this is the cause of our problems.
Can you go a little bit more deeply for me into short staffing and the retention crisis? Because, you know, earlier in the pandemic, we were hearing about throngs of people in healthcare leaving, especially nurses, because of burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. Burnout is one term for it. Recently, we've been trying to refer to it as moral distress, moral injury, because this is really affecting nurses and other healthcare workers' mental health as well. I can cite in the state of Minnesota, we have more registered nurses with nursing licenses than at any point in the last 5 years. We also have fewer nurses practicing at the bedside than at any point in the last 5 years. So I think what we're experiencing is less of a nursing shortage than it is a shortage of nurses who are willing to work in these conditions. And it's time that management at all the facilities we're bargaining with really come to understand that and realize that if they want to manage, then they need to work with us and provide solutions to that.
Can you go more deeply into the steps to establishing a union? Because, I mean, I'm sure you're watching what's happening here with UW Health, but I understand you have insights because the Minnesota Nurses Association assisted with a successful union drive in Bismarck, North Dakota. What happened there?
Yeah, definitely. So the Minnesota Nurses Association, most of our members are in Minnesota, but we do represent facilities in Wisconsin, in Hudson, River Falls, and Superior, as well as Iowa and North Dakota. Most recently, we assisted nurses at St. Alexius Hospital in Bismarck, unionized. That was the first successful unionization in North Dakota in almost 50 years. And it's a long process. There's a number of legal measures that must be, achieved to obtain a union. As you mentioned at the top of the program, once a majority of members at a facility trying to unionize have signed a petition seeking a union, the employer can voluntarily recognize that union. And that would be, the easiest and quickest way to achieve a union. And of course, it would be what we would be looking for to create a mutually beneficial cooperative relationship with an employer. If the employer doesn't want to voluntarily recognize that union, then we would proceed to an election that would be supervised by the National Labor Relations Board. And they would come in and every member of the bargaining unit or prospective bargaining unit would get to cast a vote of whether or not they wanted to join a union.
What was that aftermath like in Bismarck? What happened there to be able to get that union established?
Sure. So generally, there are issues that bring the nurses to the point where they're looking to say, hey, a union is what we need to do to collectively raise our voices and get our message across to management. That happened in Bismarck. They were concerned about their patient care. In the state of Bismarck, their Nursing Practice Act, which is the legislation that governs what a nurse can and can't do legally under their license in each state, their Nurse Practice Act isn't as strong as other states like Minnesota and Wisconsin. Mm. So they were seeking protections around their patient care. And through a union and union negotiating, they would be able to get those into their contract. So they approached us, and over the course of a little more than a year, we worked with them to develop internal structures in the hospital, teams of nurses to educate and talk to each other in both at work and outside of the job, until we got to the point that the nurses said, yeah, we have a groundswell here. We have a majority ready to vote. We turned in that petition, went public, and called for an election. And of course, won that vote. And since then, they've successfully negotiated their first contract. Are really a very strong and well-organized bargaining unit today.
Chris Rubish with us, first vice president for the Minnesota Nurses Association, a registered nurse in Duluth. Join in your story: compensation, contract negotiations, collective bargaining, burnout, understaffing. Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Chris Rubish here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with a leader from the Minnesota Nurses Association. As nurses in the Twin Ports, they held an informational picket yesterday, not a work stoppage, not walking off the job, but calling attention to their contracts, staffing shortages, pandemic, work environment, patient safety, as we've been talking about. Join in on collective bargaining in healthcare, what you're seeing. 800-642-1234. RN in Duluth, Chris Rubish, first vice president for the Minnesota Nurses Association, which represents nurses in four states, including Wisconsin, with us for about nine more minutes. So, Chris, in 2011, our governor signed into law Act 10, which ended most collective bargaining for state employees. And The union contract the nurses at UW Health had in place at the time Act 10 was passed, that contract expired in 2014. What would you say to nurses who have not had union representation for nearly a decade?
Yeah, well, I would say that my opportunity to participate in my union provides not only security for me to be able to speak up on issues like patient safety, but it also provides a really important avenue for me to be involved civically in things like legislation and, you know, working to influence policy around healthcare as well. And that's something that I'm really proud that we do as a healthcare union.
Where have you seen policy legislation inroads in Minnesota?
Yeah, well, we had two really major legislative victories this year in Minnesota. One was a presumptive eligibility for workers' compensation coverage around COVID-19 exposure. So we were taking care of COVID patients in hospitals and healthcare settings. And so we had legislation passed that gave presumptive eligibility to coverage for workers' compensation if we got COVID-19. And that was really important to make sure that our nurses stayed safe and that they were able to continue to safely care for their patients. Our other victory was around staffing and a staffing legislation. We were able to pass that in our House of Representatives. We had a commitment from our governor to sign that legislation. Unfortunately, we didn't get it passed in the Senate, but that progress we saw was more progress we've seen on a statewide staffing solution than we've had in three decades.
What does a staffing solution look like to you?
Sure. Well, you know, there are a couple different models across the country. You know, in a state like California, they have state required ratios. Those are the same healthcare to patient ratios at every facility across the state. In Minnesota, our legislation, we feel, was a more Midwest solution to a staffing problem. And it would have set up, the bill would have set up staffing committees at each individual healthcare facility. It would have brought together both management and healthcare workers on that committee and set patient care ratios based on the needs at that facility, the staffing at that facility, the patient acuity at that facility. So it was really a local solution, but addressing the problem because it does exist everywhere.
Along the lines of staffing, I wonder, how does your union approach the issue of mandatory overtime for nurses?
Sure. So we are addressing that contract by contract. My bargaining unit, which, as we said at the top of the show, represents nurses in Superior as well as across the bridge in Duluth, our contract doesn't allow us to be mandated. And we think that that's very important because mandatory overtime, the longer nurses and other healthcare workers are on the job, the more tired we get, the more likely we are to, you know, expose people to risks and errors. And that's absolutely something that is never acceptable. And it needs to be the choice of the healthcare worker to say, I'm too tired, I'm not safe to continue on this job. And mandating someone to stay in any healthcare role just is not the solution.
Talking about healthcare worker unionization, specifically in nursing, Chris Rubish, part of the leadership team for the Minnesota Nurses Association, as we look at what this is in four states, 800-642-1234 to join in. So this month, our Attorney General Josh Call said UW hospitals could enter into voluntary collective bargaining with a union, despite state law, as we talked about, limiting unions for most public workers. And nurses at UW Health have been working on trying to unionize for a couple of years now. What do you see as the legal barriers that healthcare workers face when starting up unions?
You know, I think it varies state to state. In our experience working with nurses in North Dakota, that was the first successful unionizing effort in the state of North Dakota for almost 50 years. And there was definitely a culture there where people didn't have a lot of experience or contact with unions. So we needed to start with a lot of education, supporting those members as they talked to each other about what their rights were. In a state where there's the potential for a employer to voluntarily recognize a union, like your attorney general just issued the opinion on, that's an important foundation for creating a dialogue between workers and management. And that would be our ideal outcome. any employer can voluntarily recognize a union. And that would be, you know, what I would say would be the gold standard for management to come to workers and say, we want to work with you on this. Let's reach an agreeable contract. An election is the next step, and workers will obviously pursue that, you know, if management won't voluntarily recognize the union. But we would hope that they would want to work with workers in any institution, including at UW Health.
There are tremendous headwinds out there beyond state laws. I mean, you watch large companies like Amazon and Starbucks oppose union formation at their warehouses and their coffee shops. How much does that high-profile opposition to unions affect your efforts locally to unionize?
Mm-hmm. Although it might seem a little counterintuitive, I actually think it adds some fuel to our workers. I think workers just want to have a conversation and be involved in affecting their workplace. In my case, they want to be involved in decisions around patient care, things like staffing, as we've been talking about. And when you see aggressive anti-union tactics from employers, I think it really tips management's hand, right? It shows management, it shows our workers that management doesn't want to work with them. You know, they don't want a collegial relationship. And I think that makes workers just double down and be more invested in saying, then it's time to show up and get involved.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Chris Rubish is first vice president for the Minnesota Nurses Association, that union representing 22,000 nurses in four states, including Wisconsin. Chris, a registered nurse in Duluth, Minnesota. Just ahead, we talk with an architect about elevating Indigenous culture and voices in the field of architecture and design. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.